back on the Rational Revolution. We have former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, Zachiel Torres-Small. Thank you so much again for hanging out with us. And dairy farmer extraordinaire, Daniel Olson, who works with 1 in 12.
Yes.
1 in 12 cows. That's crazy. We were talking a little bit about, you know, how these things didn't need to happen. We hit on tariffs. Did the Biden administration have anything close to what was going on with tariffs right now?
I mean, not at all. I mean, we were very focused on, especially in the ag, sector, expanding opportunities. So I mentioned that our top three trade partners right now are Mexico, Canada, and China. The Biden-Harris administration was focused on diversifying our markets. So making sure that we can sell to more countries. I led trade missions in Angola and in India, right? So these are opportunities to really expand our markets. And we're not seeing that same focus on how do we sell more in different places, but rather just how do we pick fights with anyone that we're already trading.
Yeah, one thing that's wild is he talks about how, you know, oh, whoever signed that last trade agreement was a moron, you know, but then doesn't point out that, well, Donald, that was you, you know, you did that. And now you're just throwing a bomb right on it. But I think, you know, a lot of what he's gearing towards and what he's hitting, you know, with tariffs and all of that and initiatives of climate and immigration, I mean, like what's going to hurt dairy farmers the most?
Where do you start? So like I said, there's the short term things. Those are the market is the first thing. I mean, that's going to affect their milk checks next month. Like that farmers, their ability to pay their bills and their suppliers, like that's going to happen now. And then there's the people like we talked about that have had grants and had innovative things, you know, whether it's anaerobic digesters or solar projects or things that were happening, infrastructure, things that were, you know, that many of them have spent a lot of money on already starting these projects that are maybe in limbo. And then, of course, labor. And that's an issue. And the policy and the spirit around immigration and immigrant labor.
What are your farmers seeing with their labor force?
Yeah, so it's hard because right now the rhetoric doesn't really match up with the statistics. Like so far, I don't think we're seeing any more deportations than what maybe there was under the Biden administration on average. But there's these really kind of like in your face, like attacking people, you know, pulling them out of churches or schools or whatever. Like so they want to give the perception of fear. And I think they're doing that. I remember back to the last time, the last Trump administration and ICE was coming into larger dairy farms and doing immigration checks. And one of my clients in Michigan, they actually gave them a 24-hour notice and they told the farm, hey, we're going to be there. We want to go through all your immigration, your paperwork. And the farm felt like their employees were all legal. And they let them know, hey, just heads up. We're going to be here tomorrow. We're going through things. Just wanted to let you know what's happening. And the next morning, nobody showed up. So, okay, 30-some employees, 3,000 cows and the farms out there trying to get their friends and neighbors to milk these cows because none of their employees were there. And I don't know if their employees were legal or not. I really don't know. I mean, the farm doesn't know. But the fact is there wasn't the confidence in the federal government that even if we are legal, even if all our things are straight, that they're still not going to arrest us. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
We look at in politics or in life in general, relationships matter. And with these tariffs, how we're punching our best friends straight in the face. We have representatives and the president and all that saying, well, just trust us. In the long run, this is good. Maybe it's just me, but I see in the long run, people are going to be really pissed at us. And the damage that we're doing now is going to bite us for a long time.
Yeah, I'll get to that. But first, I want to go back to the labor piece real quick.
Please.
Because, you know, when you're operating a dairy, Daniel knows this, right? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, when employees are afraid to show up, that completely puts a wrench in your entire system, right? And so you're relying on that labor force. The Biden administration was working to find ways to expand the H-2A system, which is the not for dairies yet, although there is a legislation in Congress that would provide access to H-2A for dairies, but to make sure that farmers had access to that reliable, documented labor. And I heard from a farmer who received an award to invest in some H-2A laborers, who's going to have to now potentially lay off two of their workers because that contract was paused too. So you talk about those immediate impacts. They are not helping address the labor crisis in agriculture. They are scaring families, people who are documented, but maybe they have TPP status, and he's threatening that for Venezuelans. I mean, you just see across the board, again, that confusion. And that's what causes fear for immigrant families who are just trying to work hard and support our ag economy. When it comes to trade and relationships, one thing I saw on the ground, so people may not know this, but there's USDA workers all across the globe working to advance trade deals in every single country, and well, in every country where we have relationships with. And one of the biggest barriers is all of the paperwork on the other side when they get to the country. And that relies so much on relationships and trust to help drive down the enforcement of the agreements that are made. And what Trump is doing now is just breaking up those relationships, so no one's going to trust us in the future. So it's not just about what trade negotiation deal do you have, but how much real access do you have to sell in a country? And if they don't trust us, they're not providing that access.
Well, what's crazy is, you know, we can have these tit for tat on, you know, things like, oh, we're going to tariff your bourbon from the United States. Oh, yeah. Suck on that champagne. How's that? You know, well, now it's like wheat, you know, and we had Christina Dry talking about how USAID would buy tons of food from farmers, and it's now sitting in warehouses rotting. There's schools and farmers that are now like, we would sell right to our local schools. And that was something that and that's gone. And all of these things that they relied on, all this storm of uncertainty, that decimates the whole ecosphere of what's going on.
Well, and when you look at our trade deficit in ag, and this is something that Trump said he was really concerned about and said that he was going to turn that around. Well, part of the reason for that trade deficit is those high end products like bourbon, right? Mm-hmm. So liquor is part of the ag trade economy now. And because they're high end, it has a large space. So one of the challenges is that people now in the U.S. who have a higher purchase power are going into the shops and buying tequila and buying, other things. And that drives up the trade deficit. So one of the strategies from the Biden-Harris administration was, how do we get export more high-end products that are made in the U.S., that are grown in the U.S. and processed in the U.S.? And now those are the exact places where other countries are targeting to limit exports. So saying we're not going to import bourbon, for example. Right. So it's just going to it's going to further exacerbate our trade deficit.
What can farmers do to protect themselves, you know, and to keep their farms going through this hurricane, you know?
Yeah, well, I wish I knew how long this hurricane is going to last. You know, that's the issue. Is this a 2 month of uncertainty? Is it 6 months? Is it 4 years? Is it 8 years? You know, what is that? And that's a big thing. Like, I don't know. The issue, once again, I'm speaking from a dairy side of things, is roughly 18% of our dairy products are exported.
Really?
And so we're in an industry that's...
They really rely on it.
We do. And there's this exponential curve. When you lose a few percent on the market, It can weigh maybe 15 or 20% on the domestic price. So there's this exponential curve of supply and demand. And that's an issue. When you lose out on even just a few percent, it's not 2% of the of the price, it's maybe 15 or 20%. And so how we improve or how we survive, I mean, that is, a lot of farms are going to go into survival mode, which means we're not making capital investments. We're not growing. We're just going to try to survive. And that's not healthy long-term for any business to be in.
Yeah, that was Daniel Olson here. We're also talking with former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, easy for me to say, Sacha Torres-Small. What are you up to these days? So, I mean, you know, you're not in the Biden administration anymore, unfortunately. What are you doing?
Well, right now, I'm just real glad to be back home. It's been about 7 years on and off having to schlep it to DC. And it was a long time away from my husband. So I just came back from, I taught at a fellowship at the Institute of Politics in Chicago. To meet some really neat kids. I was there with former Senator Tester. So we've
had
a lot of conversations. It was a good way to just check in with students about what they're thinking for the future, but also make sure that they are thinking about agriculture and how big a part of it is of everybody's life, not just farmers, because all of us eat every single day. And so making sure that people respect the hard work that farmers do, they understand what a crucial part of our economy it is, and why making sure that whether you're a small, mid, or large size farm, we all are dependent on their future.
Yeah. Right, no kidding. How many vacations do farmers get typically?
That's hard to say.
Daniel, he laughs. Yeah. He's like, nah, not a lot. that's the thing that's so frustrating is, you know, we can sit back and, you know, shrug our shoulder. I don't think 95% of people really understand how difficult it is to do that. And when I see some of the posts that you put, you know, on Facebook, and, mm-hmm. and they are fascinating, talk about how minute of the margins are that farmers have to live in. And then when we have a swing of 15% in a 2 month span, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most farmers aren't doing it for the money.
You know? No, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You're doing it because you're passionate about what you do. There's this generational thing. Many farms are multi-generational. I'm the seventh generation on our family farm and have a bunch of kids coming on. So we'll see what happens. So there's, you do it because you enjoy it, because you love it. And the problem is on days like today, in these kind of situations, it takes a lot of the joy out of it. That uncertainty, right. That added layer of stress. I saw one of my farmer friend that on Facebook this morning just was really vulnerable and talking about depression and anxiety and just uncertainty and how it's affecting him. And you know, depending what size of farm you are and whatever, but you said this already, you just can't take days off. I mean, the cows still need milk two or three times a day. Everything in. And when you talk about mental health, anxiety, uncertainty, financial stress, and all those things kind of piling on, I'm very concerned about farmers' well-being.
We got 30 seconds here with Sacha Torres-Small, former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. What do we got for final thoughts? How do we make sense of this?
I think the real words that I've heard are chaos and uncertainty. And farmers are some of the clearest planners. They are thinking ahead, and it's impossible to do that right now. And so as we look towards continued CR negotiations, the massive cuts to veterans and other programs that we expect to see through the CR, then we look at the budget and the $880 billion that we're trying to figure out how to cut, the $230 billion. It's just, we're looking at massive cuts for farmers. We're going to have to figure out how to address it.
Sacha Torres-Small, I really hope we get to have you back again, because this was a blast and you are so full of information. Daniel Olson, thank you so very much for tuning in, and we'll be back after this. Thanks, guys.